Begin the current daf Masechtas Yuma daf Yedal. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the second Mishnah Masechtas Yuma. That continues along the theme of the previous Mishnah, which begins the discussion of the halachas of Yom Kippurim, specifically regarding the one who does the Avodah, and that is the Kohen Gadol. So we said in the first Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol is separated 7 days before Yom Kippurim, then Mafreshim to Lishkas Bahedrin. Now that our Mishnah continues that theme about what he does during those 7 days. So in that, the Mishnah tells us, like, Kol Shabbos Yam, for all these 7 days that he was sequestered, he was separated in the Lishkas Behedron on the Temple Mount, so Hu Zorek HaSadam, he throws the blood of all the Karbonos of Tamid that are brought every single day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And the reason why he does all the different Avodas that our Mishnah mentions is that he should be accustomed and used to doing these Avodas so that he should be well prepared when he's doing the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. He's the only one, he has a lot to do on that one day, so that he should be proficient and efficient and doing everything properly. So he does these Avodas during the 7 days that he separated. Moreover, he does the other Avodas of Makter Sakteris. He also sacrifices the incense, Umeitav HaSeneris, and he prepares the candles. It wasn't really candles, it was the wicks with the oil that's inside the candelabra that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what does it mean when he cleans the neiros? It means that he would take away the ashes that was left over from the wicks that had extinguished, and these two avodas were done every single day. And that is, every single morning it was cleaned out in the morning, as the pasuk says, Ba'boker behetivas haneiros, that it was cleaned out. And then also every single day they would bring keteiros in the heichel, half of it, as it's called, pras, was in shachas in the morning, and pras, the other half, was bein arbaim, towards the evening. So he does, again, he throws the blood, he brings the keteiros, he cleans out the neiros, and umakar v'sareich v'saregel, he also sacrifices the head and the foot of the carbon tamid. That's the job that the kohen would do. He would do that for the 7 days that he was sequestered. Now, Mishnah tells us that Ushar Kol Yamim, now this was the 7 days that he was there, that he would live down in Lishkas Bahedron, he would do the Avodas. Now, any other day of the year, Imrotz Lahakrav, if he wants to be Makrav, if he wants to bring any carbon that he wants to, Makrav, he could. And that is, although generally there were 24 Mishmairis, different groups of Kahanim that were split up among 24 weeks, and in each day there was a base of one family of that Mishmar, whoever is there that day can't stop the Kohen Gadol. He's allowed to, although they wait a long time, it's finally their turn. If the Kohen Gadol wants to be Makriv, then he could bring it whatever he wants to. And the reason is, Kohen Gadol Makriv Chelik Bereish. The reason is because the Kohen Gadol has first rights to bring whatever part of the carbon that he chooses that he wants to do. And no one could stop him. And another thing is, V'noitel Chelik, he also takes, when they're finally apportioning the carbonates that are eaten by the Kahanim and they're splitting it up, then he takes a first Chelik Bereish. He takes the first choice, and that is, he could choose whatever piece he wants to. That's the rights of the Kohen Gadol. So although for these 7 days he does the Avodas himself, the rest of the year, although he's not necessarily doing it, he can choose to do if he wants to. And also when they come to splitting up the Karbanas, he gets to choose the first Chelik. Now, our Gemara asks, Mantana, who's the author of our Mishnah? Now, the Gemara says it by way of telling us that who it's not going to be. Amar Rav Chisda, he says, Deloy Kribi Kiva. And that is, our Mishnah obviously is not like Kribi Kiva, who his opinion is going to be mentioned later on, is because the Rebbe Kiva, if our Mishnah would be going like Rebbe Kiva, Ha'amar, but Rebbe Kiva tells us that Tahar Shenaflo of Hazah, although there's something called Hazah, which is you take the purification waters, that of the Paraduma, that they would burn it and use the ashes with the mixture of the water and of the Mayim Chaim and spray it on someone that was Tameh, Kiva tells us that if you spray these sprinkling waters on someone that's actually pure, then Tematu, you make him impure. And therefore, Heichir Avad Avodah, how would the Kohen Gadol be able to do the Avodah all 7 days if we said that we sprinkle on him? As we mentioned on the previous daf and regarding from the first Mishnah, that we spray him all 7 days. Well, if we're spraying him all 7 days, then that means he's becoming Tamei with the Hazah. So he can't be doing the Avodah during those 7 days when he's actually Tamei. As the Gemara says, the Tanakh learned the Braisa, which will illustrate this machloikis, and specifically Rabbi Kiva's opinion, that obviously if he holds that, if you're spraying on the Tara person, which that's what the Kohen Gadol is, he's not Tameh, we're just doing it either because we have a source of that we learn out that we spray the Kohen Gadol, but if we're spraying him in his Tara, he actually becomes Tameh, and he can't be doing that Avodah. As the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, says, V'hiza ha-Tara la-Tameh. This is where it tells us that how someone that became Tameh from a mess that we throw the purification waters on them. So the Lashon HaPasuk is that you'll spray, that the person that's pure, in other words, a reference to the Kayin, he will spray onto the one that's impure. Now that, the drasha is, Al HaTameh, if it's being sprayed on someone that's impure, then he becomes Tahar, he becomes pure. However, Al HaTar, if these purification waters are sprayed on someone that's actually pure, then Tameh, he becomes impure. Div Rebbe Kiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. And the Gemara will later on explain that he learns it out because the words Al HaTameh, that the one that's pure will be throwing it, spraying it on the one that's Tameh, the words Al HaTameh are extra to tell us this drasha, it's only on the Tameh that becomes Tahar. But the Tahar actually becomes Tameh. The Chum and the Chum say, they argue, they say, no, the words Al HaTameh are not to tell us, but the opposite would be true if it was on the Tahar, but rather they're coming to tell us the following drasha. And that is, Ein HaDvar Malolu. These words were not said, in other words, these words that we considered this spraying into, quote, a hazah, as we will illustrate shortly, what would the ramifications be, it was not considered a hazah, a spraying, amurin, ela bedvar ha-mekabel tumah, only on an item that's mekabel tumah. And however, if let's say it was being thrown on something that's not mekabel tumah, then that sprinkling on that object would not be called, quote, a hazah. It would not have been qualified halachically, legally, as a spray. Now, what's the difference is? The difference would be because if, let's say, they would take an azev, this would be a type of a grass that would grow from the ground, and they would take it and dip it into where this purification water is and spray it on the one that was impure. Now, if there are leftovers on that azev after that was thrown, there are certain types that would be invalid to use that leftovers that's still on the azev, and some that would be kosher. And the difference would be based on this halacha of what we're saying, that it's depending on what you sprayed on, as we said, that if you sprayed on something that's mekabel tumah, that could contract tumah, and if you're throwing it on that, that would make this into a hazah that was done. But if it was done on something that's not mekabel tumah, then this wasn't even halachically considered as if you did a hazah to consider what's left on that, a shiyari hazah, the leftovers of the hazah that was done. As the Gemara illustrates, mahi, what is this a reference to? So the Gemara says, kidnan, like within the Mishnah Masechta Parah, says Niskaven Lahazis Alabahema. If let's say the Kohen, he's spraying, he has the purification waters, what's called the Meinida, which is from the ashes of the Paraduma mixed with the Mayim Chaim, he intends to throw it on an animal. Now, V'hiz Ala Adam, he ends up spraying it on a person. Now, so there, in Yesh Be'ezav, if there's still some water left over on the Yezav, then Yishna, he could repeat. And that is, what that means is, there's really two components to this. Is first of all, we're saying that obviously the person that ended up being sprayed is not Tahar. You have to go ahead and spray again. However, more so is that we're saying that the leftovers on the Ezev are fit to still throw it and make another spraying and repeat. And you don't have to go ahead and re-dip and say that no, what's left on that is not kosher, Mayim Chaim, the main need. It's not kosher to go ahead and spray. This water, that what's left on the Ezev is invalidated. We don't say that. We say you could repeat and spray it again without having to re-dip. However, and this is the point, is niskaven lahazis ala adam, if one intended to spray on a person, v'hiz ala behema, and rather it was sprayed onto an animal, then im yesh be'ezav, if there's still some left over, in other words, let's say he missed, he intended to get the person, and it landed on the animal, so he has to go ahead and spray again on the person, so im yesh be'ezav, if there's left over on the ezav, lo yishna, he cannot repeat, rather he has to re-dip, and then spray onto the person. Now the reason is because this that it sprayed onto the animal, that wasn't halachically qualified as a hazah. As we said, it's only on something that's mekabel tumah if it was has the technical halachic definition of a hazah, of a sprinkling. Now, since it went onto an animal, which is not halachically qualified as, quote, a hazah, therefore, essentially what you did with these waters were a malacha. You did work with this water, which that invalidates the water. Hence, this leftovers, what's called shiyare, which is still on the Azov, the leftovers of waters that were invalidated, that makes this also invalidated. Because it's like water that Malacha was done with it. Therefore, in such a case, you have to go ahead and repeat. So that's what the Rabbanan's saying, that your whole Raya, as the Gemara will shortly illustrate, that is from the extra words Al HaTameh, to say, oh, but if it was on the Tahar, then he actually would be the opposite and become Tameh. No. Al HaTameh is coming to tell you that the pure person sprays on the Tameh, that it only has the halachic definition of a hazah, which that would mean to say that the leftovers on the Ezev would still be considered leftovers of Hazah. However, if it was done on something that's not Mekabel Tuma, then what was left over is not considered remnants of a spring. Rather, then it would be considered what you did with it, whatever it was, but it was some type of other work, which invalidates the water. Hence, the water that's left over on the Ezev would not be valid to go ahead and spray it again. You would have to re-dip to get new kosher water from the purification waters. Now, the Gemara clarifies this one step deeper, and that is, my time at Rebbe Kiva. What's the reason of Rebbe Kiva? So, on that, the Gemara says, because Nichte Brahmana Vihiza Hatar Olav. It should have said in the Pasuk that the pure person should spray on him, because in the context over there, we already spoke about the person that's Tame, that he's being purified. My Al HaTame. Why does it say the extra words that the pure person will spray it on the one that's Tame? Shmamina, from there you could infer Al HaTame Tahar. It's coming to tell you that, yes, if you spray on the impure person, he becomes pure. Valatar Tame, but if you spray on the pure person, to the contrary, actually, he becomes Tame. Rabbanan, what do they do with this? As we just explained before, hi, this extra words, Alatame, is L'dvarm HaMakabim Tumah HaDasa. No, it's not coming to tell you that only Tame becomes Tar, but Tar becomes Tame. Rather, Alatame, it's only halachically classified as a Hazah, and for the ramifications that we just explained before, would only be on something that's Alatame and something that's Makabim Tumah. But if it's not, then it wasn't defined as a Hazah. Aval Hacha, but they say regarding your case, Rebbe Kiva, that you're trying to say that if we're thrown on a pure person, then it becomes Tame. Since we don't have that extra Ala Tame to say what you're trying to say, because we use it for a different drasha, then to the contrary, Kavo Chaymahu, most definitely he's going to be Tahar, because Im Hala Tame Tahar, if you're throwing these waters on someone that's Tame, and he becomes Tahar, so you see that these are purifying waters, Ala Tahar, like Kalchkin, so wouldn't it be most definitely if we spread on a Tahar person that he would be Tahar? How could he become Tame? So Rebbe Kiva, the Gemara asks, what does Rebbe Kiva do with that Kavo Chaim? It seems logical to say that these are things that purify and not things that defile and make impure. So that Rebbe Kiva would tell you, Hain the Kama Shlomim, this is what Shlema Melch said in Kehelas. Amarti Echkema, I said I'm going to be wise, but it's very far from me. And that is right. We don't understand it. But this is exactly what Shlema was referring to with the Paraduma, that it doesn't, so to speak, make sense. That how could it be when you throw it on the tar, on the tummy person, it becomes tar, and you throw it on the tar person, he becomes tummy, but that's exactly what it is. Now the Gemara is Rabbana, what does Rabbana do with this? The Shlomo Melech said in reference to the paraduma that I don't understand it, what don't you understand? According to Rabbana, there is no such paradox about being mitar satmeim and being mitar satar. So that the Gemara says, no, they have it in a different application, this challenge, so to speak, of understanding paraduma. Because hahu, that context of that it's far from me, I don't understand paraduma, was lamazu ulamazna lav tar, that although the one throwing the sprinkling the water and the one being sprinkled on, these two individuals, the giver and the taker, they are pure, and that's because they make a drasha where it says v'hiza hatar, that the pure one will spray, it means that even after he's maza, even after he's hiza, then he's still being called tar, he's still going to be pure. However, the negeh ben tame, the one who touches the waters, he becomes tame. That's the challenge, and that how do we understand it? Why is the one who's spraying and being sprayed on their tar, but the one who touches it in tame, and that's how they understand what Shlomo Melech says, v'yuchakim, and they don't understand it. Now the Gemara asks on this opinion of the Rabbanan, umazatar, is it really true that the one who sprays the water, he's pure? But for Ksivit, there's a puzzling by Midbar that says clearly, Umaze mehani, the one who sprays the purification waters, he chabes begadav. He's not only that he's tamei, but he's so much tamei that he even has to clean his garments, that even they became tamei. So how could you say the one who's spraying is pure? And that the Gemara says, no, my maze, what does the pasuk mean when it says the one who sprays? It means negeya. It means the one who touches it, that the one who touches it become tamei. But then the Gemara asks, how can you say that? V'haksiv maze, v'haksiv negeya. The pasuk over there in Bamidbar Perikates pasuk of Aleph says both of them. It says Umazi mehanida yichabes begadav, and it says vanegeya bemehanida yitmada arev. So it says clearly both of them. So I can't say mazi means negeya, that the one who's spraying it really means the one who's touching, because the pasuk right after says the halacha, one who touches it. So I wouldn't be able to say that mazi means touching. But moreover, the Gemara says it would be difficult to say this because if you look at the pasuk. Mazeh boye kibus begadim. However, you're going to define mazeh, which literally means the one who sprays, who sprinkles. It says in the Torah that he needs to wash his garments, and even his garments become tamei. Negeya, as it says clearly in the pasuk, le boye kibus begadim, doesn't have to clean his garments. It just says that he's tamei until the evening. So how could you say mazik means negeya, the one who touches it, if clearly there's a discrepancy in halacha between mazik, whoever this is, and touching? Ella, rather, the Gemara says, according to the Rabbanan, my mazik, what does it mean, the one who sprays? It means nice, it means the one who carries. The one who carries, that's the reference of mazik. So you have two individuals, who the one that touches and the one who carries it, that they become tameh. And that's the difficulty that Rabbanan had, how they define Shlomo Melech's challenge of Rehira Chaykin Meni, is that although the one who sprays and is being sprayed on Artar, however, the one who touches, and similarly we find regarding the one who carries it, they become tameh. Then the Gemara asks, V'nechta Rechmana Naiseh. Let the Torah just say clearly, why use the term mazeh? Just write the one who carries it. My time makes it mazeh. Why are you writing the one who sprays if it's not even talking about the one who's spraying it? Say clearly. Say the one who carries it, he becomes tameh, and even has to wash his garments. So now the Gemara says, Hakamashmon, what the Torah is teaching you by using the term of mazeh to define the one who's carrying it is to be inan shir hazah, that to become tameh because of carrying the purification waters of the paraduma, that is only if it has the requisite shear of what's necessary to use in the spring. And that's what used the definition of mazeh, but really it's a reference to one who carries. And that the Gemara asks, Honicha, that teretz works very well. According to the opinion, the one who says that yes, spring actually has a requisite, a minimum amount that it needs to have, as this is a machlik, is a mesech tzachim, and that payam at aleph. But according to the other man da'ama, the one who says that there is no minimum amount of what's necessary for an amount for spraying, then ma'ikla me'ma. And what can you say? What does it mean that you're saying that in the term of the one who sprays to say that it has to have that shear of hazah, and only then do you become tummy for carrying it if there is no shear? It's no matter what it is. And I have to give my answer is no. Even according to the pin that says that spraying does not have any minimum amount, that's hanimila. That was only said in context of agava de gavra. That means on top of the person. In other words, however much you spray on him, even the most minute amount, will purify him. Albamana, but in the vessel itself that you dip the tip of the azov into to then spray on him, that according to everybody, tzrichashir, that does have to have a certain minimum amount. Did not like learn the Mishnah Masech this para that says, kama yehei bahen, how much should be in the vessel of the water of the purification, what is v'yehei kedi hazah, and that will be enough to spray that will have the shear of hazah. And that the Mishnah says, kedei sheyitvah, so that you could dip, and we continue on to Amid Beis, Rashi give oilin v'yazah, that should be enough that you could dip the tip of the azov in and to be able to spray. In other words, that you could dip it in and that you'll have enough that finally that'll be spraying and get to another person. That's how much has to be in the vessel, but there has to be that amount. And therefore, since there is a shear of hazah according to everybody, that's why the pasuk defined the one who's carrying it of becoming tameh is only if it has the shear of hazah. So that was one approach, that of Rav Chisda, that the way we started our Gemara explaining the Mishnah was that our Mishnah obviously is not like Rabbi Kiva, because according to him, if we're spraying the Kohen Gadol every day that he's sequestered, actually, since he's tar, he becomes tameh, and therefore he most definitely cannot be doing the avodah during that week. However, Abaya argues on that assumption of Rav Chisda, and he says, Avilu tam Rabbi Kiva, you could say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva, although he says that the Hazah is metameh satarim, the one who's being sprayed on becomes tameh. How does that work? If he's becoming tameh, then how does he do the avodah? Then he says very simply, the avod avodah kuliyam, he does the avodah the entire day. Now, lafanya madu'ala, towards evening when he's done doing the avodah, then they spray it on him, and v'tavol, then he immerses in the mikvah, v'avod harav shemesh, and then he waits for sundown, and then he becomes pure. So there's only that small window of time where he's tameh, and then he right away becomes tar, and therefore it's not a problem about that we spray him, and yet still he's doing the avodah throughout the week that he's sequestered. Now the Gemara continues quoting that in what we had mentioned, the Mishnah that we have do all the avodas during that week. So he said that he's umakter asekateris, besides throwing the blood of the karbonis tumit so that he's proficient in it for the, when he's doing the avodim kippurim. So he also burns the incense, metavasaneris, and he cleans out the candles of the menorah to make sure that it's clean from the wicks that burnt in. He does this for all 7 days. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, Alma, but one thing we do see from the way the Mishnah is structured, that we say what he does during that week, that Keteris Bereisha v'Hadaneris. Obviously, Keteris come first, and then come the cleaning out of the menorah. That is, in the morning, there was the two avodas that were done right away in the beginning, were Keteris and menorah. And it sounds like from our Mishnah, the way it says it, is that first he would bring the Keteris, and then he would clean out the menorah. But Reminu, the Gemara says, but it seems to contradict what's said in the Mishnah, Masechtas Tamid. Within the Mishnah says, and it's a succession of Mishnayis, it first says in one Mishnah, Misha Zacha Bedishin Mizbech HaPanimi, the one that merits to go ahead and clean off the inner Mizbech, that of inside the Heichal. And then it says that the next Mishnah, Umisha Zacha BeMenorah, the one that merits to do the cleaning of the Menorah. And then it says, Umisha Zacha BeKetarius, someone that merits the Ketarius. Now, these are three Mishnayis that are one after another in Masechtas Tamid. And it basically says how the Avodah was done in every day regarding the different Avodahs that were separated for all the different kind to do. So on that, the Mishnayis, they tell us that whoever merited, as we're going to explain later on the Gemara, that there were certain lotteries that were done to decide who's going to do which Avodah. So it says whoever got the lottery of cleaning out the inner Mizbech, so he takes this. Then when finished talking about the one who did the Dishun Mizbech HaBanimi, that would clean out the inner Mizbech, then it says the one that he won the lottery of cleaning out the Menorah, so he would take this. And then after it finished talking about the Mishnah of cleaning out the Menorah, then it says the one that merited and he won the lottery of the Ketaris, and then says his Halachas. But one thing we see is that's the order. And therefore, if that's the order, so we see that first comes Menorah cleaning it out, and then comes the Ketaris. But that contradicts what we said in our Mishnah, that first he would do the Ketaris, and then he would clean out the Menorah. So I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, you're right, obviously they're different. And it's a Machlekes. Mad Tana Tamid. Who is the Tana of the Mishnah Masechta? This Tamid, not like our Mishnah. That's Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpahu. That it's Reb Shimon Ish from Mitzpah. That we know that he has an opinion brought down in the Braisa that talks about the halachas of the Seder Tamid. And therefore, since we know he talks about it, so obviously we have to say that opinion is different. Must be like Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. But that the Gemara asks, but Voyibcha Shemin Alei. But we heard to the contrary. That he cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, because he actually argues on the anonymous Mishnayos Masechtas Tamid, and therefore we cannot say that the order of the Tamid that's mentioned over there is like him, because obviously he's not that Tana who's anonymously the one that created the structure and the order of what's done with the Karbanis in the morning. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. It tells us that Balai, the Kayin that was throwing the blood of the Karban Tamid, and that was every morning, there was a carbon brought in the morning, carbon tumet, and there was a carbon tumet that was brought in towards the evening, ben abayim. So the different kahanim get different avodis through lotteries. So the kohen that's coming to do the zrika of the blood of the carbon tumet, so he comes lekeren mizrachis safinus. So first he comes to the northeastern corner of the mizbeach. So nisin, so first he pours the first matana, as it's called, the first pouring of the blood of the Karban Tamid, Mizrach Tzafayna, by the northeast. And what he does is he sprays it like what's called a gam yavanis. It's a Greek gam, which is basically like an L-shaped bracket. That's what type of a letter they had, which would be basically, the blood would come out as an L on the corner, which would be that you could see the blood both on the eastern part of the Mizbech and the northern part of the Mizbech. After he did that one throwing, which got on the corner, therefore got on both sides, then he goes around, he continues going counterclockwise, and he comes around to the corner of Marabas Deraimis. He comes to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. And then, Nisan Marabas Deraimis, then he sprays the blood on the southwestern corner. And the reason for this is because a Karban Oyla, it requires what's called Shtei Matonah Shein Arba. It needs two throwings of blood, which are essentially four. What that means is that you're going to do two sprayings, and how's it going to be four? Because if you get one on each corner that are diametrically opposite of each other, so then you're going to have each corner gets two sides, and then you get two sides, so you get all four sides by only spraying it two times. So since it has to be on the diagonal of where you sprayed it, so he sprays on one corner, then he goes to the other corner, and then the Gemara later on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis will explain why necessarily was it these two corners, but he had to get two corners, and each corner will get two sides. That's Shtaim Shein Arba. Now, so that's how the throwing of the blood of the Karban Tamid was done. Now, B'tani Allah, we learned regarding this mission in the Braisa that Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah Mishana B'tamid, he deviated from how it was structured, a regular Karban Ayla, and as how the Mishnah of Masechtas Tamid says it was done by even the Karban Tamid like that. He says that the throwing of the blood of the Karban Tamid was different than the blood of all other Karbanos Ayla. That is, that although the first matana, the first throwing of the blood, was the same as a regular karmen oyla, which was this gam yivonis, this L-shaped bracket, when you throw it, one throwing it gets on both corners, but then the second throwing was not achas shu shtaim, as it's called, one that's two, or in this case of all of them together, shtaim shein arba, rather it was shtaim shein shtaim. He would do a total of three throwings, not as a regular karmen oyla, which has two, which ultimately ends up being, quote, like four, because he had them all four sides. He would do the one, which is two, and then he would do two separate ones, which were two, which would be, he would interrupt, he would first do the western side, because that's where he's coming around from, he's coming around to the western side, he would throw on that side first, and then he would come a little bit further to the southern side, as he's coming around, and he's coming from the west towards the south, and he would do it on each side separately, as the Gemara will explain later on why that is. But according to Reb Shimon HaMitzvah, it wasn't done like every regular karmen tumah. And as the Gemara says, that the Braisa tells us that first he would come to Mizrachat Safayna. He would first come to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Nason Mizrachat Safayna, and then he would spray the blood on the northeastern corner. Then Maravis Deraimis, then he would, when, as he was circling around, he would come around to the southwestern corner. And Nason Marava, he would first do a separate throwing the blood on the western side of the Mizbeach. And then he would put it on the southern side. Now, one thing we see clearly is that the Seder of the Mishnah, Masechtas Tamid, which was describing the order of the Karban Tamid, is definitely, you cannot say that it's Reb Shimon HaMitzvah, but because you see clearly that he argues, and he says that it wasn't done the same as regular Karban Ayla, it was first one that was two, but then two that was two. So how can you say that the Tana and Masechtas Tamid is not like our Mishnah, because, oh, that's Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. If obviously you cannot say that he's the Tana of the Mishnah and the anonymous order of the Seder in Masechtas Tamid. So, Elam Reb Yechon, rather, Reb Yechon says the opposite. Man Tana say the Yayma. Who is the Tana of the order of Masechtas Yuma, of that day, in other words, of as it's brought down in our Masechta, in our Mishnah, which talks about the order of the that day of Yom Kippurim, which argues on the order of the Karban Tamid, which is done in Masechtas Tamid, that is Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, and that is the Tana of our Mishnah, who we know that he already argues on the order of the Seder Tamid as it's brought down in Masechtas Tamid. That's Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, as we find he says in regarding a Braisa. So therefore we could say that our Mishnah, which is not like that Mishnah, can be Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, because we already know that he argues in that order, and our Mishnah is obviously arguing on that Mishnah, because there's this machlekes regarding which one comes first. Does the Keteres come first? Or does the cleaning out of the menorah come first? Our Mishnah that's different must be like Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, who also we know from a different braisa that argues already on that anonymous Tana and Masechtas Tamid. So that resolved the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, that it's a machlekes. But now the Gemara says, but Rami say the Yuma, say the Yuma. But in our own Masechta, in our own order of Mishnah, it seems to be a contradiction in this same topic. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah later on in the coming parakan of Chafeim and Aleph, where it talks about the order of the four different lotteries that was in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. So it says that when they would gather together for the Pious Hasheni, for the second lottery that they would do, which when they would do that second lottery, they would actually have 13 different avodas that they would make a raffle for. So it says that part of the second gathering for the lottery would be Mishechet, would be who would get the rights to slaughter the carbon, Mizarek, who would spray the blood, Mimadash Mizbeach Abnimi, who would go ahead and clean out the Mizbeach that's inside the Heichel, Umimadash Nisim Menorah, and who would go ahead and clean out the Menorah, Umimale Evam Lekevesh, and who would go ahead and bring up the limbs, the parts of the carbon of the Tumid up to the ramp, and only later did they go from the ramp up to the Mizbeach, and they counseled with all the 13 different raffles. Now, then they would separate, and then at a later time they would get together, and again they would call out, which is a later Mishnah on the Chavav Medalf, which continues the order, which talks about Pious Hashlishi, which means to say the third time they gathered when they started doing raffles again. And the Gemara later on, Chavdal Medbez, will explain why did they do that? Why did they make raffles and then separate and then bring everyone back together again, make lotteries again? It's because that should be a tumultuous, it should be exciting, and a lot of things going on in the courtyard. And the Azar, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, the Bevesa Lekim, the Halach Baragish, in the house of God, we go with excitement. There's always things going on. So that's why they did that. But either way, when it came time for the third lottery, it says that they would make an announcement, Chadashim Lekitaris, those that are new for the Keteres, in other words, Kahanim that never brought the Keteres in their lives, Boyu v'hafisu, come and join into the raffle for the Keteres. However, though anyone that already brought the Keteres was not able to go ahead and bring it again. The reason is because the Keteres would make people wealthy, as the Pasuk says in Devarim Lamed Gimel, it first talks about Yisimu Keterah Ba'apecha, they will bring Keteras in front of you, Hashem. And then it says, Baruch Hashem Chele, Hashem will bless his wealth. And therefore we see that Keteras makes people wealthy, and therefore we had to give everyone the chance. And if you brought it once, you didn't come. It was only Chadashim L'Keteras. Those who are new to it, they would come to the raffle. But one thing we do see from this is that Hatavas Haneiras, cleaning out the Menorah, which was done at the second lottery time, comes before the Keteras, which is only done by the third gathering of the lottery. And therefore, that contradicts what we say in our Mishnah, in our own Seder Yuma. You could say that the Tanna Masechtas Talmud is different than the Tanna Masechtas Yuma. But in our own anonymous Mishnayis being said over here, we have a contradiction about which came first. Did Keteris come first, as it says over here in our Mishnah, or as a later Mishnah says, that the cleaning Menorah came before the Keteris? Some of Abaye says, Loi Kasha. It's not a contradiction. It is the same Tanna. But Khan, our Mishnah, is talking about Bahatava Shtei Neiris. And that is, as the Gemara will explain, there was interruption in the cleaning of the Menorah. It wasn't all done at the same time. So therefore, our Mishnah that says that the cleaning of the Menorah came after the Keteris is talking about the last two of the seven candles that were there. Those two were done after the Keteris. Khan, however, the Mishnah later on, the Chafem et Alv, was talking about Bahatavas Chomesh Neiris, the cleaning out of the five candles, which they were done before the Keteris. And that is, as the Gemara later on in the third parak, Naflam Gimel Alf explains, that, again, they would interrupt from cleaning out the Menorah. They would first do five of the containers, that is, of the Menorah. The Menorah actually wasn't candles. It would be the Menorah itself. They would have the oil and the wick inside of it. So they would first clean out five of them. Then they would wait until another Avodah was done in between. Then they would come back to the Menorah and clean out the remaining two. Now, there's a machlekes between Abba Shaul and the Rabbanan regarding what it was that was done in between the five and then the remaining two. There's an opinion that says that the Keteris was done in between, and then there's an opinion that says that it was the slaughtering of the Karban Tumah and the throwing of its blood that was in between the five and the two. And later on, the Gemara will explain the reason why there was an interruption between. But either way, what Abai is telling us is that our Tana holds that the Keteris interrupted in between the five and then the remaining two of cleaning out of the Menorah. And therefore, in our Mishnah, where it says that the Keteris was first and then the cleaning of the Menorah, that's in reference to the remaining two, which were done after the Keteris. Now, although the Mishnah later on tells us that Hatava, the cleaning out of the Menorah, was first, that's in reference to the first five, which actually came first. And therefore, that's not a contradiction. Depending which one of the cleanings of the Menorah, which it was, will depend if Keteris was first or Keteris was second. Now, the Gemara asks, on Abaye's answer, Lamemra de Bekateris Mafsik Luhu? So, yes, we know that there was an interruption between the first five and the last two of cleaning of the Menorah. But are you telling me that it was the Keteris that was what was being interrupted, and therefore that's how you resolve, depending which one, which Mishnah is talking about, which of the five or the two, to say if Keteris is first or not? But Vabaya, by himself, tells us later on in the third parak, he said over the order of the Avodah of every single day. He said it over Mishmei de Gemara, in the name of the tradition, which means what he accepted from all the students in the yeshiva, that they had accepted the Masorah from the Rebbeim. And in that Seda Hamaracha, he said, Ubetama Tamid Mafsik Lahu. He said clearly that the Masorah tells us that what was it interrupted? It was the blood of the Tamid, to shecht and to throw the blood, that came in between. So how could Abaye say, to answer our Mishnayis, oh, that the Keteris was in between, and therefore, depending on the Mishnah, our Mishnah was talking about the last two, so yeah, Keteris came first. The later Mishnah was talking about the first five, so Menorah came first. But it wasn't the Keteris that was in between. Abaye himself said that the Masorah tells us that it was the Dama of the Talmud. So how could he give such an answer? So they said, Loi Kasha is not a difficulty, because Hahi, that we're later on over there, and that's like what Abaye was telling us, that it was the Dama HaTalmud that was in between. That was La'Abba Shal. That was going according to the opinion of Abba Shal. Hal Rabbanan, our Mishnah, in other words, this resolution of Abaye between our Mishnah and the later on Mishnah, was, and that is that Keteris was in between, and that's how he resolved the contradiction, was going according to opinion of the Rabbanan. The time, like we learned the Brisa, this machlokes, and therefore it's not difficult on Abaye. The Brisa tells us that lo yetives haneiris, that all seven of the neiris of the Menorah should not be cleaned out at one time, and then va'achkach yakter, and only then afterwards will one go ahead and bring the Keteris. Ella, rather, Yakter, first, And what it means first, in context, it means that in between, one brings the Keteres, and then concludes the remaining two of the candles of the menorah. Now, as Rashi clarifies, you can't say, in the opinion of the Rabbanan, that when he says Eliyakta, that first you makdik the Keteres, and then only later do you even start the hatav, the cleaning out of the menorah, because that we know we have Messiah, that there has to be an interruption in the five and the two. And all the avodas are organized one after another, as the Pesukim tell us about. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to have the Keteres until after the throwing of the blood and of the Dam HaTamer. And if you're going to say that the Keteres comes before the cleaning of the menorah, then you don't have any other one to interrupt. Meaning, well, there's only really two options. That is either the blood of the Tamid, but the Keteres has to come after the Dam of the Tamid, or it's going to be the Keteres. Now, if you're telling me that the Keteres come first, and that's what the Rabbanah is saying, and then you would say that they're saying the Hatavas and Eres are done, but what would then be interrupting between the five and the two? Can't be the Dam of the Tamid, because the Keteres has to come after that, and the Keteres, is, you're saying, is even before, and the Keteres is not interrupting because it's saying Keteres. So obviously that's how Rashi says. We know what the Rabbanah mean to say is that Yakter comes first, meaning comes first before the last two. That's what's interrupting, and then you complete the last two. Abishol argues, and he says, no, Meitiv, you first clean out all the candles of the menorah before the Keteres, and then V'achkach Makter, and then you go ahead and bring the Keteres, and that's, as we said before, because he holds in this machlekes of what interrupts between the five and the two, it's the Dam HaTamid, and therefore that resolves the contradiction of Abaya. Because although Abaya says that it was the Dam HaTamid interrupted, that was going like Abishol. And over here where he says that the Keteres interrupted, that was the resolution of the Pinner Rabbanan. And that also takes care of the Stira, as we said later on, because now that Abaya makes sense, so therefore Abaya's teretz that he said for the contradiction makes sense too. And that is because although one Mishnah, our Mishnah, is saying that the Keteres is coming before the cleaning of the menorah, that's talking about before the remaining two candles. The Mishnah later on that tells us the cleaning of the menorah came before the Keteres was talking about the original five, and then came the Keteres.